Good morning. Welcome, folks, to this March 26, 2023 Liberation Station radio show. Chris Steiner here with you, and we are just starting a little late with working out a little kinks, a few kinks here with a new audio board at RBN that they're getting accustomed to, and so we'll start out with clips in a little while. Got quite a few clips on the lineup here. The website for the show is theliberationstation.com. Here with you every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please donate over at republicbroadcasting.org to keep this vital community, this long-standing, God bless community, going and growing. It's such a good community. It's not just a talk network. It's a community of a lot of great listeners, very educated, who are eager to call in and contribute, deliver the information on how they have learned that things have been done in their areas of expertise, and we learn then how they should be done and can really learn how to reform the system. Also, streaming live over at Facebook at facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa. I just checked the audio, so we're good there. facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa, which in my earliest opportunity I'll share over to the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page, facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting. And the chat room is on the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com. That's theliberationstation.com, the listen/archives page, which is the fourth one down. And you'll find the RBN audio players at the top, a few of them, three of them anyway. And then scroll down, you'll find the chat room. So you can listen and chat all on that one page. Your calls are welcome at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. If you have any news you'd like to add, because there's so much out there, I haven't had the time to look at it, but if you do want to call in and bring up anything you think is important, then go right ahead, and I will do my best to look it up on the fly and even show it up on the screen on the video next to me in the live stream, so folks can maybe read what you're calling in about as you're talking about it, and things might appear up on the screen that I might not even get to mention relevant to your call. And let's see, let me get started here and see what we have on the docket for today. Well, I have a lot on the docket, but I'm having to reshuffle the priorities here of in what order we'll talk about them. And I just learned about the new setup at RBN there, so we're going to have to reshuffle here on the fly. And you know, some of my articles relate to the video clips, so I'm going to have to avoid talking about those as I go through. Okay, here's a good one we can cover without referencing any video audio clips from Nature magazine, dated March 15th, 2023. Common sweetener suppresses mouse immune system in high doses. And it's up on screen now. This is by Max Kozlov, and it's referencing sucralose. And I'm seeing now, they're not giving me access to it anymore. So let me see if I can, I should have deleted my cookies in order to make sure they couldn't see that I was coming to their website again. But here, let me try archive.ph and see if any of the good folks there have subscriptions where they've archived this article. In just a moment here, folks. I'm so sorry. This is on the fly. So, you know, can't find that on archive.org. And they're asking me for $30 per month for that Nature magazine. So not going to go do that. But they're in the subtitle saying that, well, maybe we could repurpose this for treating autoimmune conditions. So they want to take this sucralose, Splenda, also known as Splenda, and repurpose it. You know, it's just a one, they've just altered the chlorine atom, like similar to erythritol, where it doesn't get digested in your body. It doesn't go through metabolism. But erythritol is a waste product. There's a lot of studies on that I might cover in the future. In the meantime, I'm avoiding erythritol, as well as sucralose and Splenda and NutraSweet and Equal and aspart, which is aspartame, or it's going under various other different names now. So avoid all those non-nutritive sweeteners. And we'll get into this clip number one here. This will be we're ready for the clips now. So let me introduce, this is from the last edition of the High Wire with Del Bigtree. Once again, this is going to be about 40 minutes. It's so much news that Jeffrey Jackson and his regular appearance covers, and then we'll comment on it. I won't get into it. I'm so tempted to get into it now. And then we'll get into a six-minute clip, just under six-minute clip, of Fauci versus Fauci, where he's contradicting himself. His recent testimony doesn't jive with his past statements. So we'll get into that, and then we'll get into electroculture food production, growing with electricity. Plants do so much better. They need less fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. And I'll stop right there in my promises, because I know there's so much that I would like to, I promise to get into. And often I don't, and sometimes I have to push it over to the next week where it's not as timely, but it's still important. Oh, and lastly, we will get into a case where just a year ago, I found out about it now, where a lady in Texas found, with a federal jury, they found in her favor that the SWAT team who destroyed her home in order to attempt to arrest the fugitive who had committed suicide after his detainment in the house, he let his hostage go, and they wrecked the place in the term of in the sense of a shock and awe. Rear assault, frontal assault, rear assault, running over the back fence, and frontal assault, flashbang grenades, causing a lot of damage. And the jury awarded this woman $60,000 under a very unique argument: eminent domain. Eminent domain. So in the future, this may be a precedent if it's in your district. I'm not sure what district this was, but it could be, if it's not in your district, it could be argued in your federal district to set that precedent. So that's encouraging news. But first, let's get on with a whole plethora of news from Jeffrey Jackson on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, March 23rd, 2023. Please roll that clip.
So right. Let's talk about, you know, we're in America here. We're in this space where one of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams, called the animating contest of freedom. We're in this space now with our money system, and we're trying to avoid, as Catherine Rostrom Fitz put it, this further centralization of this currency to a power grabber, surveillance type currency in a digital form. Mm-hmm. And we reported last year in September 2022 that the White House, it was kind of the starting gun here. They really signaled to the public that they're going to explore this now. White House releases a press release. White House releases first ever comprehensive framework for responsible development of digital assets. And sure enough, right on cue, the UK, similar thing. This is from the Bank of England's website, and it tells you straight up on the website there, we are looking at the case for issuing a digital pound. This type of money is known as central bank digital currency, CBDC. It would not replace cash yet. So,
right. Yeah, we've heard that before. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Cash is still king.
Yeah, for now. So what we have now is, as these banks are kind of consolidating power, going to a top-up situation, we have a launch of what's called the Fed Now. This is the headline here. It's a very interesting time. It's been going on, developing the background since 2019. Fed Now is set to launch in July. What the instant payment service could mean for digital dollar and stable coins. And we have a you go to the actual FedNow website, and this was from the Federal Reserve, you can see this payment flow system. This is a payment system like Catherine Ross Fitz was talking about. And, you know, if I send this money to you, it's between myself, my banking institution, your banking institution, and you. Now, this puts the Federal Reserve Bank square in the middle of this. Now, on the website for FedNow, it doesn't say anything about CBDCs or digital dollar, but the infrastructure is clearly there to set them right in the middle and to surveil every dollar you spend, every dollar you send to somebody else. And so this is a problem. And thankfully, our politicians here in the United States are starting to take notice. So this was House Majority Whip Congressman from Minnesota, Tom Emer. And in late February, he introduced an act. He took to Twitter to describe it here. He said, "Today, I introduced a CBDC anti-surveillance state act to halt efforts of unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. from stripping Americans of their right to financial privacy." He goes on. He says this. The bill does three things. Number one, prohibits the Fed from issuing CBDC directly to anyone. Number two, bars the Fed from using CBDC to implement monetary policy and control the economy. And number three, requires the Fed's CBDC projects to be transparent to Congress and the American people. Wonderful move by him. And, you know, as a neutral analysis of this, one of the things that that bill does not do, again, hats off to him. Great effort. And this is important effort to block the federal part of it. But it does allow other companies to come in, like, say, JP Morgan Chase or Apple or any other of these tech companies to come in with their designed CBDC and plug it directly in to the department, the Federal Reserve. So this is something we have to watch out for. Now, we have the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. She was one of the first people to have one of these bills, these CBDC bills, come across her desk, and she vetoed it. This was her talking about it on Tucker Carlson recently. Take a look.
I became aware of this bill. It wasn't introduced until almost halfway through our legislative session. We started reading through this bill that was over 110 pages long. It was sold as an update to the guidelines of the Universal Commercial Code, backed by all of our financial institutions, our banks. As we started reading through it, we saw the section of the bill that changed the definition of currency. And essentially what it did was pave the way for a government-led CBDC, and it also banned any other form of cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or digital currency that existed. So for me, it very clearly was a threat to our freedom. In South Dakota, we are the session that completes its business earliest in the year. We are the first ones to really look at this bill and find out the truth of what's in it. And I did veto that bill. I'm asking my legislators to change their minds, to make the right decision and help me kill this bill once and for all. But I'm telling you, Tucker, we've got the same language coming to over 20 other states. I believe it's to pave a way for the federal government to control our currency and thus control people. It should be alarming to everyone, and it's being sold as a UCC guidelines update. There's no rush to do this. We need to be smart and make sure that we're doing what we can to protect people.
Yay for Kristi Noem. And when I get such a heartfelt feeling about, you know, seeing politicians starting to discuss the issues that we've been covering for years. There's something surreal about the fact that when we were talking about centralized currencies years ago and a concern about it, that was just conspiracy theory talk. And in just a very short period of time, not only is it on the verge of being a reality, we now have politicians speaking in public about it, vetoing bills that are coming at them. We really have transcended out. I mean, you know, we've been proven right, but it's really happening. And there really are politicians that are waking up to it, which is good. Hopefully enough, we'll wake up in time.
And as you and I know, politics isn't the sole answer, like Catherine was saying. We have this synergistic effect from the ground up. We're using cash. We're using local banks. And the politicians can add support if they're doing this, like Kristi Noem is. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. But now, as we're seeing, as she's showing and describing, it's at the state level now. So people can activate. People can contact their representatives and really start to get active here. So what she's talking about, this is kind of a nebulous bill. It's just hidden in something. It's not really too exciting. People kind of just pass it over. Like she said, it's like 113-page bill. So let's look what she's talking about. There's a similar bill in Montana. This is Bill SB 370. And this is the headline for the bill here. It says, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising the Uniform Commercial Code. There it is. Updating terminology for the digital age, providing rules for transactions involving certain digital assets. Let's go over to Tennessee. Similar bill there. Senate Bill 479. It says at the top of it, an act to amend Tennessee code annotated Title 47 relative to the Uniform Commercial Code. Then you go down in the bill and you see this part, 47-9-10-5A, control of electronic money, subsection A, general rule, control of electronic money, and then it goes on to describe all of this. So there's a lot of bills out there dealing with cryptocurrency, digital assets, taxation of that, and this Uniform Commercial Code. So if you check out this map here, this is some of the states that have active bills, and it says on that little map legend there, define distinct digital assets and categorize them within the Uniform Commercial Code for various purposes. Now, these various purposes are for regulation, mechanisms and control. Arizona just killed their bill, while North Dakota, just north there of Kristi Noem's state, they actually passed their bill. So a lot of activity going on right now. If people want to get active with this,
it sounds like we got to be careful too. And, you know, politicians are just regular human beings. They're not some geniuses. You know, they ran, you know, they were a dentist. This is one of the things I try to make clear when I interact with politicians. They're just one of us that decided to get into office. So many of them don't understand language. It's not like there's this giant red flare that's saying See, this is what you're looking for. It reminds me about people that go into hospitals and things. You have to tell them, look, it's not going to say vaccination. If you're like, oh, it didn't say it was going to vaccinate me while I was under, did it say the word biologics? It's almost like they're hiding it in different terms, right? You know, just control digital currency, things like that, that you could just say, well, obviously, you know, we want control over those things. And that's how these things, they're trying to slide them in, right? So we've really got to go out of our way now and alert our elected officials that this is coming at you, and you may be about to sign something and not even know it's in that bill.
Right, exactly. And this is a huge switchover. Think about it. Human beings have been using paper money for centuries. So this is a rapid switchover to a digital age that a lot of people are not well read on this digital aspect of this. So this is a fast learning curve, but fortunately we have access to a lot of information and we can get this out here. Now, if you're living in a state like Florida, this is what your governor starts to sound like, along with other states that are joining him. Listen to Ron DeSantis.
Okay. Given the continued increase in Chinese influence in worldwide affairs and increase in plans to adopt CBDC worldwide, our legislation also prohibits any CBDC issued by a foreign reserve or government-sanctioned central bank. This will ensure that any effort to adopt a worldwide digital currency will never occur in the free state of Florida. And finally, I'm calling on like-minded states like Florida to adopt similar legislation into their uniform commercial codes and to reject any changes to their uniform commercial code that would formally recognize a central bank digital currency. And I've already spoken with Lieutenant Governor of Texas, who's ahead of the Senate in Texas. I do believe Texas is going to do something similar to what Florida does. And if we can get a groundswell of states to say no, we are not going to turn over this power to you. I mean, look, ultimately, cash is king. I mean, if you can hold it in your hand, you have power over that. The minute it's all digitized, somebody else is going to have control over that. And it's just a question of, are they going to let you live your life? Or are they going to decide to do things to circumvent what you want to do? And think about what we've already seen. In Canada, you remember when the truckers were protesting the vax mandates, you know, they had banks. Some of the government seized some, froze some of their banks. You had charities that were trying to help these guys, and that was frozen. So we've already seen government really overstep its bounds, as it is in the banking situation and financial sector that we have now. Can you imagine if we went to something like a central bank digital currency?
You know, we just played Kristi Noem, and now you've got Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, in some ways, I'm concerned. Is this yet another topic that's going to sort of fall down among party lines? Or, you know, are we seeing some, you know, sign up by both sides? Because it seems like we should all be concerned about this, no matter, you know, what party we're coming from. I know I wasn't planning on asking that question as I sit here. Is this another dividing line in our country between our political systems, or what's going on there?
From what I've seen, it's mainly Republican pushback at this point. But the Democratic talking points on this have not really been out there. I'm not seeing any Democratic candidates saying we need this CBDC push for the climate. For climate change or anything like that. So I don't see any like the traditional talking points to push this thing through. I think much like the bills are kind of worded really basically, I think it's more of this thing that's just happening in the background. It's just part of nature. It's just a normal switchover we're going to do with the currency to just get into the digital age, and it's going to help us all transact better and faster and fight money laundering. But again, DeSantis said something key there. The biggest criminality I've seen is from governments and corporations, and we're this CBDC push centralizes that into those very hands. So as we reported on, the government sees Canadian bank accounts of protesting truckers, and you know, we knew they were right then, but now in hindsight we definitely know they're right to get these vax mandates off their borders. We've seen it with GoFundMe. We've seen it with PayPal talking about fining people for what they call misinformation. So I'm sorry, but these corporations and governments already showed their hand of the limited power that they did have to get people's money. I personally don't trust them to have centralized power over this. And we can look at other countries have already started this process. So this is a headline in Forbes. It says central bank digital currencies are off to a rough start. They're talking about Nigeria. It says in Nigeria's attempt, so basically they attempted in Nigeria in 2021 to make the digital currency called the e-naira. So it was basically their currency, but digital. They didn't force it on people. But what they did recently was they said there's kind of an intermediary step, and this is important for Americans to really pay attention to. The government said, hey, you know what? We're going to update our high denomination banknotes. So the biggest banknotes out there, we're just going to put a little update to those. It's still going to be paper, but we're going to just update them for you. We're going to take the old ones out of circulation. They took the old ones out of circulation, but they never really put these big ones back in fully. So that's the headline you're going to see now. This is what's happening in Nigeria. Nigeria attempts to replace its currency notes, descends into chaos. Long queues form outside cash machines and fights break out as customers demand access to money. And here we have, this is on-the-ground footage, basically riots. You see people rioting to get their money, lines at the banks. You see people burning things. This is kind of chaos because the people know this is cash in hand economy. These people know what's going on here, and they're not getting their big bills, so they can't transact. They can't feed their families. This is a big deal.
Wow.
And this is the most recent headline here. Nigeria seeks partners for tech revamp of its e-naira digital currency. So it says in this article, the Central Bank of Nigeria wants to develop its own software for the digital currency so that it can keep full control of the effort, according to two people familiar with the matter who asked not to be named because the matter is confidential. It has discussed the plans, which are in the early stages, with New York-based technology firm R3, one of the people said. So here we go. You're already seeing an example of these central banks in these countries reaching out to these tech firms, in this case in New York, to plug and play a digital currency. And this would get around certain laws as well. So this is really has to be watched out for in the United States. Now, Del, another aspect to this whole conversation, we're trying to report on this as neutral as possible because there's so many moving parts. We have Bitcoin. Bitcoin's been around since 2008, and it's went from a groundswell to global adoption. There's so many people that have it throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And so there's countries now that are, instead of central bank digital currencies, they're taking Bitcoin and making that their currency. Wow. This is the Central African Republic. This was one of the people or one of the countries that where Bitcoin became official currency. This is the BBC reporting this. Now, what's interesting about this country is it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And most of the people there don't have bank accounts. So they've really skipped the banking era. They went from no bank accounts directly to Bitcoin. So Bitcoin allows them, if they have a cell phone, they become their own bank.
I was just going to say, though, I mean, like, if you talk like about a poor nation, and there's an irony to it that, you know, they're you know, living in, you know, relatively lowered conditions, but they all have a cold wallet, you know, somewhere in their, you know, little house.
I looked at some numbers from World Data, and it shows here, this is the Central African Republic, and it shows how many people have mobile phones. And the usage has been obviously growing since 2004 there. And you can see in about 2020, you're looking at almost about 35% of the people. So a little over a third of the people in the country have technically now could become their own bankers and have that according with the Bitcoin model. Still not access to the whole country. But another country is El Salvador. This has been really the shining gem of the Bitcoin adoption. El Salvador becomes first country to adopt Bitcoin as an official currency. They were the first. So it's kind of this person-to-person banking economy. That's the name of the game here with Bitcoin. And what's interesting is the bills in the United States, they don't allow Bitcoin. They allow central bank digital currency, but they don't allow Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. So there's kind of a push to the curb of this situation, which would lend, you know, some credence to what Catherine was saying. But another institution that doesn't like Bitcoin is the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. So as soon as these countries started adopting this currency as legal currency, legal tender in their countries, you see headlines like this: IMF lays out crypto action plan, recommends against legal tender status. So the IMF has been famous, just a quick history here of why they're kind of in an uproar about this. They have been famous for giving debts to giving loans and putting low income countries in debt. And what that usually happens after that is you're giving debt, more debt to a debt problem via the IMF, and it causes IMF riots. That's actually a term. There's a book written on this. It's called Eliminating the IMF. And in this book, you can see they do an analysis of whether we should keep the IMF or just completely abolish it altogether. And it says it's one of the instigators of these riots, of civil unrest. You've seen it in Egypt, Costa Rica, South Africa, Greece even. And these are these debt traps that have been talked about. So just recently in 2022, the most recent country to go under this is Argentina. You see no to the IMF. This is out of Reuters. Thousands protest in Argentina against debt deal. This is just a common thing that usually happens in these countries that sign on to this debt. And you can see here, these are the protests that happened in 2022. They ended up signing this debt deal. And sure enough, Argentina cannot pay back these payments that they have to pay. So at that point, this country goes into austerity. They go under a really strict economic plan. You see a lot of issues within the country at that point. So this is the IMF saying no to Bitcoin, but yes to central bank digital currency. So important to keep an eye on at that point.
Yeah.
Just in the whole picture of things going on. But Del, I want to get to the really exciting story here. You know, as a journalist, as a health journalist, we watch the mainstream media. We watch them ignore, and we have for a decade, the stories of vaccine injuries, the stories of the health ministers or the politicians, governments. They get on these programs and they don't get asked the hard questions. They get these softball questions. So just recently, we have the federal minister of health in Germany. His name is Karl Lauterbach, and he was on Heute Journal.
And we will resume when we get back. On that cliffhanger, this is the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, featuring Jeffrey Jackson on March 23rd, 2023. Their site is thehighwire.com, and when we get back, we shall resume. So stay tuned. Take what they got. My brain's too fried, so I give it no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're going to pay for me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turn around. I see a glimpse of the recognition, but it's still little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake. What I mean is why?
And it does feel sweeter when you can beat your adversary without fighting them. And that's what we need to do to overcome these central bank digital currencies. Any other kind of wrangling, any rigging of our economy has happened already in so many various ways. The main one, I think, being that when you ask for a loan and it's granted through one of the Federal Reserve member banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan. Those are Federal Reserve member banks. Oh, and by the way, J.P. Morgan having been sued. Speaking of financial slavery, there's also the sex slavery that they are allegedly financing. According to the Attorney General for the Virgin Islands last year in December, and then she was fired 5 days, I think effectively 4 days later, she's fired over the weekend. I think it was 5 days after Biden's visit, where she was filing charges against J.P. Morgan for helping Jeffrey Epstein, most likely money laundering, and that's what they've been known to do, like British Bank HSBC, laundering money for drug cartels and bringing in drugs, of course. So whenever you do get loans from one of the Federal Reserve member banks, like a student loan, a car loan, a house loan, you're, according to the Federal Reserve publication, Modern Money Mechanics from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, it says that when you take out a loan, you're giving permission for the principal to be issued into circulation, but never the interest, not the interest. There's no mention of the interest. So it's impossible for everyone to pay back principal plus interest. So what happens when not everyone can pay? Well, their collateralized property is taken away. They're bankrupted. Their credit score is ruined. And that, I think, is the major rigging of our economy. There are so many others as well to favor the rich. The Federal Reserve gets to decide what sectors of the economy are financed by what loans they do and don't grant. And these are all reasons we should be trusting each other to give loans if we were all more wealthy through more equitable commerce media that we will have to resort to sooner or later. So might as well have the backup plan running sooner and trying to do that with Clearwater Hours here in Clearwater, Florida, clearwaterhours.com. Yeah, have the site set up and have to re-enlist more businesses, though I could also use help with that if anyone here in the Tampa Bay area or otherwise elsewhere would like to help or learn. You can contact me. So we have other equitable commerce media like community currencies, time banks, barter networks, cooperatives, and swap shops. And I'll get into those more afterwards. I didn't want to break up the continuity of the segment too long. So we'll resume with this this clip here of the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. I just wanted to comment on the segment that Jeffrey Jackson had covered. And he had, just before the break, started to get into the German health minister saying that... pardon me, folks. I'm going to have to let him give his words here. I'm trying to locate the time index where we left off here. So we'll do that in just a moment. We'll resume with Karl Lauterbach, the federal minister of Germany for health, who's now come out against the COVID shots. And Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip.
This is basically Today Journal in German. The journalist is Christian Sievers. And Christian Sievers asked some really great, hard questions. But not only that, the actual mainstream media in Germany, this is a big organization, a big news organization in Germany. They actually ran stories of vaccine-injured people after the COVID shot. They had a 17-year-old gymnast, a lawyer who had a blood clot in his head. He had to learn to walk again. These are like war stories that we normally report on. The media never touches. They're running these stories. Take a look at what this looks like. And, you know, some of this is going to be in German, so we're going to come back and talk about this for those listening just audio. But take a look at this.
Aber millionenfach ist dieses Land, zumindest der größte Teil von uns, gegen Corona geimpft. Ärzte, Impfkommissionen und die Politik haben das so dringend empfohlen. Manche wollten die Impfung sogar zur Pflicht machen. Klar ist, aber millionenfach haben diese Impfungen schwere Schäden verhindert. Klar ist aber auch, sie haben in Einzelfällen auch Nebenwirkungen, nur dass darüber bislang kaum gesprochen wird. Betroffene berichten, wie sie komplett alleingelassen werden.
Das hast du immer gerne gemacht, Marceline.
Ja, war mein Lieblingsgerät.
Dein Lieblingsgerät, das weiß ich.
2,5 Jahre ist es her, dass Celine in der ersten Liga nicht nur am Barren turnte. Die 17-Jährige war sehr erfolgreich, nahm am deutschen Turnfest teil. Alles änderte sich, als sie sich zum zweiten Mal mit dem Covid-Impfstoff von BioNTech impfen ließ. Sie erkrankte kurz danach so schwer,
dass ich nicht mehr laufen konnte, nicht mehr richtig schlucken konnte, meine Augen nicht mehr öffnen konnte, Doppelbilder gesehen habe, Schwierigkeiten mit dem Atmen. Und dann wurde ich richtig auch erst dann ernst genommen.
1 Jahr lang verbrachte Celine im Krankenhaus, kämpfte mehrfach um ihr Leben, weil sie nach der Impfung schwere Gefäßschäden und Blutgerinnsel erlitt. Erst vor kurzem hat das Land Nordrhein-Westfalen anerkannt, dass Celines schwere Erkrankung durch den Impfstoff Comirnaty von BioNTech verursacht wurde. Sie bekommt eine monatliche Versorgungsleistung von 854 Euro. Doch das reiche nicht. Auch Christian Pülz' Impfschaden wurde nach 1 Jahr anerkannt vom Land Bayern. Der Rechtsanwalt erlitt nach der Impfung mit Vaxzevria von AstraZeneca eine Brückenvenenthrombose und musste wieder laufen und sprechen lernen. Jetzt ist er teilweise blind und lebt mit einem Implantat im Kopf.
Es fühlt sich an wie ein zu kleiner Stahlhelm. Er drückt wahnsinnig, vor allem auf die empfindlichen Stellen. Also das Leben ist tatsächlich nicht mehr wirklich toll, muss ich sagen. Also im Gegenteil.
Der Bundesgesundheitsminister ist bei uns. Vielen Dank dafür und guten Abend, Karl Lauterbach.
Guten Abend, Herr Sievers.
Was sagen Sie denn diesen Betroffenen?
Zunächst einmal, diese Schicksale sind...
Okay, sorry, folks. We're going to have to pause it right there. I wasn't ready with skipping this segment on where there are the translations. But let me just go through and I'll just read in just a moment here. Sam, there in the control room, I'm sorry to ask you this. If you could fast forward a little bit, and I'll give you the time index in just a moment. I apologize, folks. I just watched this before the show, and I had forgotten about the translation issue. So I'm just going to go read the translation. And Sam, if that gives you, this should give you enough time, I hope, to cue it up to resume at 56:08, 56 minutes and 8 seconds. Let me type that in the Skype chat. And then I'll go into the translation in this interview here, so you don't have to hear the German at the same time. Okay, so now in this interview, what you started hearing, I'm going to translate just some of. And first of all, they're giving an account of some people, some Germans, who were deeply affected, and shows the girl, the young lady, as a gymnast. She's saying, "Yes, it was my favorite, your favorite pastime." She's quite a gymnast, you see. Celine was a top, I'm now continuing the translation, Celine was a top gymnast, and not just on the uneven bars. Celine, a 17-year-old, was a very successful competing in the German gymnastics championships, but everything changed when she received her second shot of the BioNTech vaccine, folks. She fell seriously ill shortly afterwards. I could no longer walk, swallow properly, or open my eyes properly. This is Celine Islami speaking. She's a young lady. I had double vision and difficulty breathing. It was only then that I was taken seriously. And she was in the hospital bed. Celine spent a year in the hospital fighting for her life on several suffering severe vascular damage and blood clots after the vaccine. Only recently was Celine's serious illness recognized by the state of Rhine-Westphalia as being caused by the Comirnaty vaccine from BioNTech. Okay, I'm told that my microphone is having an issue. Sam, let me know if that clears up, or I'll just switch microphones to my webcam. Is that continuing? Okay, it cleared up. Thanks. I just wiggled it, I guess. So continuing the translation. Back up just a moment. Only recently was Celine's serious illness recognized by Westphalia as being caused by the Comirnaty vaccine from BioNTech. And I'll interject here, that is the FDA-approved Pfizer shot. So it's approved by the FDA, but in Germany they're using it. And this has caused her horrendous health issues. Continuing, she receives a monthly benefit of 800 euros. But it's not enough. Similarly, it took Christian Pools a year to get his injury by the Bavarian state. After vaccination with Vaxzevria from AstraZeneca, the lawyer suffered a bridging vein thrombosis and had to learn how to walk and talk again. Now he is partially blind and lives with an implant in his head. And I'll show all this up. I'll put this back up on screen to show his the hospital and surgery where there's a scar down his head, which is... Now he is partially blind and lives. My screen. And now he's partially blind and lives with an implant in his head. He says it feels like wearing too tight. Pressure is horrendous. Life is really. Quite the contrary. And now the news reporter continues with his interview with the Federal Minister of Health in Germany, Karl Lauterbach. Good evening, Karl Lauterbach, says. And Karl Lauterbach replies, good evening. What do you have to say to these individuals? He replies, these unfortunate cases are hard. Every victim is too many. Hard without two. They have very severe disablement, some of which we have problems on both sides of this equation. We don't yet have the drugs for treatment. Research on those is proceeding at pace. Care entitlements are often defined very narrow. So I can see why the people here are making complaints. Sounds a bit like forecasts. It sounds a bit like you're suggesting that everything is. These people will tell you exactly the opposite. Struggling for a year, being turned away again and again. Lots of agencies that don't believe you, let alone apply to you. Then running the gauntlet until you're recognized as vaccines only to receive a pittance. So the government can't happen. What you gonna do to stop me this time, baby?
With my mind, well, you do it all the time. You've been messing with my mind. You know you do it all the time.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And we're back here. Sorry for the audio problems, folks. We're back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner here with you. I'm not sure what's going on with the audio, but if it happens again, I'll just have to switch to my webcam microphone, and it'll sound a little bit more tinny, but at least we won't have this this issue. Now, I'm not sure where I left off because I was starting into the translation here of Karl Lauterbach, the German health minister. The interview that was just conducted March 12th, that was aired on the High Wire with Del Bigtree. Since I don't know where I was cut off, I'm not going to go back in and resume, but I'll just summarize. They start out with a clip of a couple of patients severely injured, one of whom got a brain implant, had to have brain surgery, and who's an attorney, and another lady, young lady, is a gymnast who's suffering. Germany's their system is just like ours, where you have to sue the government and all their wealth in order to establish a claim, any hopes of establishing a claim that you were injured by the vaccine, and there's no liability for the pharma company. So Germany is a bit fascist, just like we are in that regard. Let's see, Sam. As I asked before the break, let's just resume this this clip now. This is from, again, the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree and Jeffrey Jackson, his weekly appearance. And we just have a little bit more to go on that, about 15 more minutes, and we'll be done. And I have a lot of commentary and some more news to cover. So, Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip. Is that clip ready to roll, 5608? Same clip that you, in the Skype, you said that you're ready to play? 5608? Yeah, clip one. Right, we're continuing with clip one. Yeah, you got it. Here we go.
I mean, I suppose if you're listening in audio, we will try to get out a version. Well, maybe we'll dub that over. But I think it's very important to hear these people in their own voices. Jeffrey, you know, I wonder if our audience watching this, because we sort of dwell in this space so much, get the significance of what just took place here. We are talking about, essentially, this is the Tony Fauci of Germany. So when this guy is saying things like, we are now recognizing the vaccine injury, we're working to be able to find it earlier, we're trying to discover treatments because we have no treatments that seem to work against it, it is so far different than what we're getting in America, which is from the same people. Remember, these are the same scientists. We're all at the same level. These are first world nations, top nations. This guy is saying, we are well aware of these injuries. They're, you know, 1 in 10,000, what he's saying, despite, you know, whatever we want to think about those numbers, but he's admitting vaccine injury, where here in America, everyone that's injured is being gaslit. I think this has just opened the floodgate. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Absolutely. At 1 in 10,000, that is a number. So we actually have a health official that is committed to a number. He did the cardinal sin of government health officials. Safe and effective, safe and effective. That's all you're supposed
denial,
to say.
Denial. He just dropped that ball.
1 in 10,000. Again, we know from Peter Doshi, from a lot of the studies of Pfizer's early data, in their trial data, that is a really high number, 1 in 10,000. But let's just take that. And so, you know, he's talking also, Christian Sievers, thank God for him pushing these questions, because he really put this guy against the ropes. And I don't know if this guy knew it was coming, but my gosh, yeah, as you said, we don't have treatments for these people. We have a narrow window to define care that they can get coverage for. Other than that, they're not getting anything. We have all of these problems. But then the journalist, Christian Sievers, says, let's talk about liability. Remember, total immunity from liability these pharma companies have for the products that they, these injectable products, these vaccines that they've given to people. And that's something on media in the U.S. here that's only been whispered once or twice by maybe a Barbara Lo Fisher or a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. over the past decade. Right. That is something in the mainstream media that does not get talked about.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.